Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard here from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com, on a Monday morning, ready to kick your week off feeling great, coming off some Alliance of American Football League football, Trevor. Did I say that right? I mean,
I just know it's like the Alliance. One of the A's
AAF
is,
football.
Is Alliance, and then one of the F stands for fun.
Oh, in that case, I can definitely say it.
So it's Alliance Fun.
Alliance of American Fun Football.
No, that's it. No, just one
but
F.
How do people... Okay. Coming off some Alliance of American Fun, Trevor, what did you think of the football action we saw this past weekend in the AAF?
Well, I don't know about you, John, but my AAF team is...
mine is not.
...currently undefeated on the season.
I was disappointed in the Iron Helmets. Is that blasphemous?
What?
The uniforms are great. The helmets were not. But I was disappointed in the Fleet's uniform. So it was kind of like a little disappointment all the way around. The helmets just aren't great.
I don't even know what to say to you right now. Stephen A. Smith voice. I don't even know what to say to you right now.
Stay off the weeds. I don't know. I didn't feel like...
Look, man, there's no other way to say it. The Birmingham Iron have the best uniform kit in the entire league. That's why I picked them. But for those of you who didn't like follow the beef, kind of like on Twitter, but you listen to this podcast, when the league started, I thought it'd be cool to, you know, obviously we have some different rooting interests. I live in Florida, so a lot of people were really pissed at me that I didn't pick the Orlando Apollos because they have like five Gators on their team and Steve Spurrier is their head coach and they're obviously like an hour and a half away from where I live and people were super pissed I didn't pick them. But, John, and you know this very well, the number one ingredient for my fanhood is aesthetics.
Sure. Which is ironic because you're a Bucks guy, but go on.
The Orlando, look, man.
I know you agree with this.
The Orlando Apollos uniforms suck.
Oh, yeah, they're terrible. They're the
bad.
Worst ones.
They're bad. And
they're
I can't root for that. Yeah. I just can't do it. So, but it was really fun to see.
I feel like you have to root for them to finish last.
Close
to it. I mean, there's some other bad ones, but they're pretty bad. They're atrocious, their uniforms.
So Joe and Kyle are Orlando Apollos fans. I'm a Birmingham Iron fan. You are a San Diego Fleet fan.
Yes.
And I hope there's somebody else in the company who might want to go like off the wall and pick a different team because it's fun.
I'll pick a different team. Because
no, you can't pick a different team. You already picked your team.
The Fleet are going to be the worst team.
You can't switch.
I should have looked up the odds, the Vegas odds or whatever before.
No.
I picked my team.
The worst odds.
What's that?
Birmingham had the worst odds.
No, I think the Fleet did.
No, Birmingham was
looked up an older version, but no, I thought.
So all right.
Either way, both of us, we're cheering for the worst two teams.
This segues into the reason why we're talking about the AAF, not just because it's fun, but you saying the Fleet are bad, I can say to you, well, that's okay because – you're just probably going to get a different crop of players or maybe a different crop of coaches in with turnaround pretty quick because this league is supposed to be, in theory, kind of like a feeder league to the NFL. Because before it's like, okay, either you get drafted, you know, you make a practice squad or maybe you don't. Maybe you're just in training camp, right? Maybe you're on the 90-man roster in training camp. And even before this, when cutdowns were like 2 weeks into camp, sometimes you'd get 2 weeks of practice. And then if they cut you, you're not doing anything. Like, a lot of these guys just aren't doing anything until, I mean, they're staying in shape and everything, mm-hmm. but like, they're not really playing real football until next training camp when they might get another chance. This league hopefully gives them an in-between to get real football reps and all this kind of stuff. And so I guess my question swinging it to you now is that outside of kind of the fun that it was getting to see a different kind of football, getting to see new teams, new uniforms, new fan hoods, all that kinds of stuff, the product on the field, do you think this will be what it's intended to be as this feeder system into the NFL?
It's such a good question, but it's so hard to answer. I mean, the product on the field was fun to watch, but not necessarily like good football. Like, you didn't get the feeling watching the games, I felt like, at least. Seeing a good bit of the games, I feel like, I didn't get the feeling like, man, we're sitting on like NFL talent like all over the place. You know, like,
but you got to remember, like, this is like, you got to judge this. You got to judge this as, well, yeah, for sure it's week one. Mm-hmm. But you also, you got to judge this as like, these are preseason rosters. If that, like, some of these guys are even like a little less than preseason rosters.
Right.
So, you know, if you look back and we think about the preseason, I mean, like, the preseason in the NFL is absolute garbage.
Oh, yeah, 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 for sure. Right.
So,
so it's about, you know, finding the gems in the midst of that, and I think there will be some guys that emerge a little bit. Here's the big question with that, Trevor. Will this be a developmental league that is profitable enough? Let's be honest. The NFL needs that part, right? It has to be profitable in some sense. But also, I think it has to spit out a couple guys who go on to make some noise in the league. I really do. And I think it has to do it probably fairly early in the process. As bad as that is to say, because here's the thing. If this is, if, and Bill Polian kind of said this when he was getting interviewed before the first game for the opening kickoff, he said that, you know, there, they said, where do you see this in 5 or 10 years? And he said, we want to be tied directly to the NFL and producing and developing the next wave of young players, coaches, front office people, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that that's awesome. But here's the thing. The NFL is going to have to see some returns on it, because the reality is, for every one or two guys that might make it, they're probably not going to be significant enough in the role that they play at the NFL level for them to say, oh, it's worth putting in financial, you know, everything that goes into financially for this developmental league to be in place. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're going to weigh that whether that, you know, that what's worth the cost that they're putting into it. And I just think it might be a little bit of a long shot to say that it is.
Yeah, obviously, profitability is a big deal. And, you know, as of right now, I don't think they're not like being funded at all by the NFL, correct?
I don't think so. No.
As far as I know, because, you know this, but not everybody out there knows this. I worked for one of these kind of startup leagues that never even got off the ground, about 3 or 4 years ago. And our big thing was obviously getting the money to invest, to get it off the ground, which never happened. But then it's, how do you make it sustainable after that? Because the goal is always, for a lot of these leagues, I assume that the goal is that the NFL and all of these leagues, whether it's the AAF or the league that I worked for, you know, even maybe even something like the XFL, depending on how different it is. I know that there's an American Football League that's coming up too. There's a thirst for this. And I think it's also being driven by the NFL. Like, the NFL also wants this, right? The NFL wants a free feeder system, or at least they want somebody to be the guinea pig for it. So I think all of these leagues, and I believe it's, did you see the commercials for that app, like the app for this league, the AAF, were you seeing that?
No.
So like, there's this super complex app where like there's a chip in the ball and in all the players' gear and like all this kind of stuff where you can like watch the game on the app and it gives you like real-time scores and all that stuff. The league is basically funded by this app right now. This is actually like how the league is a thing. They're like a partnership with an app. But I assume that the long-term plan or short-term plan, whatever you want to call this, is that 2 or 3 years down the road, they hope that they're solidified enough to where the NFL goes, okay, we'll buy you. Mm-hmm. We'll make you our feeder league. Like, we will make you our official minor league.
I think
league.
That's what they want, yeah.
They have to survive those 3 years. And I do think your point's really interesting, because what measures success? Is it going to be dollar amounts? Is it going to be return on revenue? Because I don't think that's a big deal for the NFL. Like, if the NFL took this over and made it a minor league thing, I don't think they'd have problem really making money or even taking that much of their budget out. I think it has to do with how many guys are going to be in this league that they feed to their own league to make it a better product.
Right. Here's the thing. The NFL is never going to get to that point unless the AAF starts producing guys who make a difference in the league.
But
they're just not.
They have old NFL coaches, right? And so,
yeah,
you know,
and
like,
actually, I do want to discuss that too, because that's an interesting point. But I think here's the thing. Tom Brady basically instilled and began interest in rounds 4 through 7 of the NFL draft just because of how successful he was. There's obviously been some other guys in that vein too, but that him being that, I mean, how many times did we hear for years, and now it started to wear off a little bit. Social media has kind of brought awareness to people that this is a ridiculous thing to say, but people said for years after Tom Brady was a round 6 pick, you never know who you can get. Every time a quarterback was taken round six, people said it brought interest to that portion of the draft. I think it's the same way with the AF. You have to show that you can produce some talent that actually does something in the league. I don't think they have to be like a star, like Kurt Warner or anything like that. But
is one all it takes?
I think it'll probably take more than one, but a big one, your quarterback, could be great. You know? By the way, before we move on, Bobby Belt tweeted this out. One thing the AAF will need to fix, the passing game. Through three games, AAF quarterbacks have 3 touchdowns and 12 interceptions.
Yeah.
6.5 yards per attempt and 54.6% completion. That is abysmal.
The only two guys that I saw that were worth a damn was Luis Perez, who plays for the Iron. I thought he was slinging it pretty well when they played. Nice and stretch. Then Garrett Gilbert was okay for the Apollos because they put up a lot of points. Him. But, like, he started off rough.
Right.
So,
right.
Like, he gained momentum, and then the Atlanta Legends are a super trash roster. So then, like, they basically all realize, like, wow, this team we're playing is trash. Which is
good, because the Legends also have probably the worst uniforms along with the Apollos.
The thing I hate the most about it is how the purple is different color on their helmet than it is on their jersey.
Maddening. Completely maddening.
I just can't watch it anymore. But somebody was bringing up, like, when we were talking about the league this weekend, one of the guys was like, oh, I hate the fact that they can only blitz 5. Like, just let them go out to go to that. Well, that rule is in place because they have to protect their own product, right? Because these offensive lines and these quarterbacks aren't good enough to handle that kind of pressure. So if you're a defense, you could just go, yeah, just send 7. They're not going to be able to do anything about it. So that, in theory, should help quarterbacks out a little bit. But certainly, you know, week one, there were a lot of jitters for a lot of these guys. But I agree with you there. It's got to take somebody. And, you know, I almost got to say, like, it's got to take a star. Like, you got to get one of these quarterbacks to make it into a camp, become a backup. Like, the starter gets hurt at some point in the year, and then one of these guys gets to play and actually, like, balls out for 3 or 4 games or something. I feel like that's what it's got to take for the NFL to be like, okay, all right, we might have something here.
Here's where it gets interesting to me. I don't think the AAF, which we said, it was exciting, it was fun. Honestly, anything could have happened on the field. People would have been excited about it, right? Because more football, they knew some of the names of the players. There were guys that get drafted. The draft growing has kind of made the awareness of these players a little more obvious. And so people were excited about it. Really wouldn't have mattered. I mean, the product for most part, like the play on the field wasn't very good. That's okay. I think the AAF can actually survive if there's a couple stars that go on, and especially ones that go on to the league. You know, if they can kind of show that here's our next so-and-so after one guy makes it, you know what I mean? And get people interested and keep people coming back. But here's the thing. That most easily happens at the quarterback position, right? Obviously, their quarterbacks are off to a rough start. Nobody looked like they were going to be that guy from the past group that we got. But the only way for the AAF, I think, to be successful is if they eventually move in a bunch of young, exciting coaches who are going to be super creative in the way that they approach the game. And why not? Nothing to lose, right? Super creative. New concepts, trick plays, you never know when you're going to see something different, formations, lots of variants, all that kind of stuff, man. Like running quarterbacks, absolutely. And what the NFL is going to see is not only are the players, is it helping players, you know, quarterbacks with average skill sets do better, it's creating a scheme that actually can work, and we can borrow some things from it. So maybe they borrow a coach. Maybe they take a coach. Maybe they take a concept. Maybe they take a player, you know, that's worked in a certain offense. Maybe a quarterback who was otherwise pretty average is suddenly working in a system that a team's like, man, we can add some things like that, and that guy can be a player for us. You know, who knows, a starter or whatnot. But that's the interesting part of all this is that right now there are a lot of old, longtime head coaches in positions in this league. I do understand, because as much as people will say it's too boring a concept on the field, and I think that's going to continue to be a problem as these quarterbacks continue to struggle and Mike March continues to do 7-step drops with his with what's-his-face, Berkovici or whatever, you know, who clearly can't handle what he's throwing at him. You know, as those things continue, the frustration's going to mount, but at the same time, they need the older coaches to create the culture and the structure because they've run actual NFL organizations. So they can bring everything else except for new feel, new age kind of concepts, cutting edge concepts. So it's a catch 22, right? They need the older veteran coaches. Everybody's going to look down on it, but I get why they're in place because they give credibility to the organization as a whole. They also bring stability to teams, structure to teams, leadership to teams. Whereas if you throw some young guy, you don't even know what you're getting in that front, but you might get creative concepts and creative offense, and you might get more exciting product on the field. So that's going to be the balance they're going to have to figure out.
You talk about balance there. You can't become a gimmick league, though. You know what I'm saying? Because like the second you go over that line and people go, this isn't real football, you're done. Like they lose you. You know, like I'm all for, I hear you definitely on like tearing that line.
I'm here for that.
No, but like I don't know they're about not gimmick though, you know what I'm saying? But you tuning in to Twitter to look at the wacky plays isn't like that's like the league has to have more than that. They can't be just that.
Sure, it's
they
not gonna be every play, that. But
it's like you can't be this super gimmicky league. Now, but again, to your point, I think you're on the right track with you've got to be innovative. I think they've got to find that line. And that's a really tough part of playing a league. You know, just coming from my experiences of working in the league that I worked in, the fact that they played games this weekend is monumental. That
right after the Super Bowl, you mean?
No. Oh, I mean at all.
Oh,
the
at
fact
all.
That they played
the
games.
The fact that they got that all, far. Sure.
That is the biggest mountain that you have to climb is kicking off. Well, they don't do kickoff, so I mean snapping the ball.
Snapping off.
The fact that they started, the fact that they played real games, the fact that they have four games underneath their belt means that they are leaps and bounds ahead of every other football startup league that has ever tried to be a thing. That is, I cannot tell you the logistics, the details, the money, the organization, the everything that goes behind the scenes for you to kick off. And the fact that they did it, I mean, my hat's off to them because it was a really fun product. Obviously, I think a lot of the social media teams that they're having have been really good. There are a couple teams that I think aren't nearly as active as they need to be with their social media presence because that's going to be
scouting them out, huh? Seeing if they need any tips.
Not that they need any tips, but I'm certainly, you know, social media plays such a big deal in making sure that the league's going to survive because you've got a lot of the people who are going to be spreading your league. Like the big part, and Ben Albright brought this point up, and obviously it's a really good point. Week one's not a problem, right? I mean, on Saturday night, the AAF, which was a brand new football league kicking off for the very first time that no one had ever heard.
Right after the Super Bowl?
Beat out the NBA's primetime matchup that night on TNT. Or I think it was ABC. So, like, it knocked the NBA out of the water. Football is football. The first week is obviously going to be a success.
Right.
Then there's going to be a lull for weeks probably 2 and 3, 4, whatever it is. You got to get people to come back somehow. And that comes with the creativity on the field, the social media strategy, all that kinds of stuff. But
also, got to have box scores, man. Like, can't find them easily. Can't find them easily. And that's really disappointing to me. We need that.
Yeah. No, 100%. They got to have box scores.
I mean, I saw good chunks of most of the games, but not enough to, and I don't know the numbers and players well enough to be like, so and so balled. You know, I want to see the numbers. I want to be like, okay, that's who that guy is that's playing, you know? Right. People want to see that stuff. Like, they got to get that figured out.
Name recognition, and I think when it comes to social media presence, like tweeting out making as many of these guys known as you possibly can.
Yes. You have to feature the players.
You have to feature the players. And I thought that, like, even just because I followed the Iron the closest, just because I said that I was going to be a fan of them. Even them, I think that they're really great and they're really active with social media. They've got somebody on it 24/7. They're responding to people. They're doing all this kinds of stuff. Even like throughout the game, unless somebody scored or something, they never really reference the player's name. And like, look, man, if Quentin Patton makes a diving catch, it better say Quentin Patton in giant letters on that tweet. If Luis Perez makes a good catch or makes a good throw, it better say Luis Perez's name on the tweet because that is going to be the lasting impact. Because at the end of the day, the people in America watching this, knowing these players, giving their recognition a chance to be able to go on to the NFL, and the NFL making money off of this and getting guys into turning them into household names. Now you, all of a sudden you're turning these practice squad guys into household names. You're creating interest. You're creating revenue. That's the way it's going to happen. That's how you're going to get the partnership with the NFL. And I guess to swing this around to draft talk, since we are a draft podcast, it is a really cool thing, and I really hope that it works, just because there's, you know, we see guys all the time,
yeah,
who go undrafted or cut early on in their career, yeah, who just end up fading out. That could be something more, and I hope they could be something more. And so that's why I think a league like this is, mm-hmm, really cool, especially from a draft aspect.
It is exactly right. Not only is it huge, just let's just be honest, this would be great for TDN, just because,
oh, of course,
guys we write about, reports that are 250 to 350 on our boards, you know, that we're writing reports on. The reality is there's probably not gonna be space in the league for 100 of those guys that we write up, you know. So A, it gives us longevity on those, and those have meaning now. When those guys go to the AAF and play, people are going to be like, oh, you know, what's this about? And we're going to have reports on AAF guys. That's going to be really cool for people. And honestly, the AAF got to be pumped about it too, because we're going to be helping sell their product and promoting those players like you're talking about. So I think it is. It's be great for TDN. But just from a football standpoint, you're right. Like, to me, selfishly, I can't speak for the league and like what it'll be in terms of worth it for costs and things like that, and if they were ever to kind of adopt this as their you know, developmental league. But for me to see some guys get better and then maybe get a shot at the NFL that I scouted and was like, you know, they've got like fringe NFL, they've got great traits, but fringe, yeah, NFL ability. Like, I'd love to see if they can, you know, that's going to be fun to me to see how much those guys can succeed. I mean, even Tyrone Holmes, like I gave Tyrone Holmes third, I forget even which team he's on, but who played against the Fleet the other night? I forget who it was, but anyway, he was on that team. Not the Express.
The Yeet.
I can't remember who it was.
But San Diego Yeet.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. But no, I think Holmes was impactful the other night. He had a sack. I think he whipped some tight end.
DeMontre Moore got a sack.
Yeah, he had also had like 9 quarterback pressures or something, but I knew Moore would be good. But Holmes was in this, and I had a third round grade on Holmes. He was like one of my favorite sleepers.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, dang. And he had like a cup of coffee in the league, and honestly, like, was like, he had a couple sacks. Like, he just, I think he couldn't defend the run well enough to like stick on rosters, I guess, which I still think he has the juice, but I don't know. They didn't, the NFL wasn't crazy about him. And so he stuck around for a little while. And then, so it was cool to see him like playing again. And I was be like, this guy, you know, like if he dominates the AF, I'll be interested in me to see if he gets another shot. But
there's just such a, there's such a space for all of this, right? I mean, there's guys who either went drafted late or got undrafted that are, you know, maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years removed from their team that are still trying to make it back into the NFL, still trying to maybe get that last shot or whatever it is. So you got young guys there. You've got guys like Dante Dye, who's a wide receiver who's been literally just on and off the Buccaneers practice squad for the last 3 or 4 years, who, you know, it's clear the guy's never going to make an NFL roster, but he's good enough to play football for a living. You know, maybe, mm-hmm, not for NFL money, but, you know, right, he plays in this league. You know, like, he's in this league now, and he gets to play some football, and that's cool for him. And then you got guys like Nick Novak, who kicked in the NFL for 10 years, who's like,
yeah,
I can still do it. And
it's,
I mean,
so like, weird to see like guys so, like him and Trent Richardson out there. I'm like, this, I don't, you know, think this league's for y'all at all, but here we are.
I mean, the selling point for the league certainly will not be those guys, right, but it is, I guess, interesting and cool that they are somehow trying to integrate it for all these kinds of, yeah, different.
But I think the biggest the biggest three things for the AAF moving forward is you got to promote the players. It's absolutely essential. I don't think we saw nearly enough of that the first week. I think you have to make the players people that are guys that people want to watch, like both for their on-field skill, but also off-field personalities. Like, make it about the players. Make it about the players. I think that's so important. Be super active and dominate social media. I mean, that's their lifeblood. Look how many people are on social media talking about it, and therefore other people are watching it. And that's the lifeblood, man. You got to dominate social media. You got to make it fun for people. And the teams that do that the best will probably have the biggest fan bases. And if all of them do it well, I think the league has a shot. And the other thing is, again, goes back to what I said. I think they has to become a more creative approach on the field. Like, I don't think you can just have, you know, it's not going to work. Like, people are not going to want to see as poor a play as we saw offensively, especially in the red zones and stuff, moving forward. Like, the, you either got to get coaches who are a little bit more creative or force these guys to, you know, have add some people to the staff that are going to be a little bit more creative and exciting and try some wilder things. Because I think right now, after the first weekend, I was just like, man, I just don't know that the offensive football is good enough to hold people's interest long term. Like it or not, whatever kind of football you prefer, the most people prefer to see points scored.
Yeah, they definitely got to figure out offense, because right. Like defense is, I'm gonna offend a lot of people, but like defense is easy to play in leagues like this because offenses are not competent, right?
Sure.
So
the offenses are the ones trying to execute at a higher
right. Level, I guess, so. You've got to figure it out. I think that this league, just like it goes with the NFL, you know, ratings. You know, it's even with the NFL draft, ratings and everything and interest. It all just revolves around quarterback play, because that's where points start. People like a lot of points. So, right. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think it revolved, but I thought it was a really cool kickoff. I did.
Yeah.
It was a really good start. Like I said, the fact that they even played games this weekend is so huge. And I think that they're doing a lot of things well, but I agree with you on all of your points. You got to emphasize all of those things in order to make sure this thing sticks around, which we would obviously love for it too. That'd be cool.
Right. Absolutely. It'd be huge. So there's our kind of our thoughts on the AAF, and as the league evolves, we'll continue to have thoughts. We'll continue to talk about the AAF on the podcast because we're super intrigued by it and very into it so far. So we'll also have draft thoughts obviously coming up throughout the week as well. Trevor's mock draft dropped this morning over at thedraftnetwork.com, so make sure
you go read it.
Go check out that and yell at Trevor. I think there was one or two trades in it, you say, Trevor?
If by one or two, I believe there were eight trades in it. So
eight trades.
Yeah.
You're a lunatic. That's awesome, though. Yeah, so you won't see another mock like it, safe to say. So go check that over at thedraftnetwork.com. As always, appreciate you guys listening. Keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.